So, Berto, did you see the new Avengers movies?
Did I?
Or movie?
Oh, were there multiple? Did I? Actually, it felt like multiple movies.
Yeah, it did feel
like. It was long. I did see it, yes.
Well, let's talk about it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor. And my favorite character is probably Quill, I'm going to say.
Interesting.
I'm a Quill man.
A Quill man.
Well, Deadpool... But he's not officially in the MCU.
Oh, that's true.
But anyway, who are you, Berto?
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I like to break into people's houses on moving day.
And who is your favorite character?
Are we keeping it to Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not well.
Or the MCU. Folks that, yeah, the MCU. That
Ant-Man, Spider-Man.
Yeah, so that's the range. I've been a huge Hulk fan forever. I have to go Hulk.
Okay. So I thought we would start by ranking all 19 of the movies.
Okay.
So.
Whoa. How many?
There's 19. Yeah.
And you're not even counting the Sony Spider-Man.
No, or the.
All the X-Men.
Ang Lee Hulk, or all the other Hulks in the past, or the other Spider-Men in the past.
Are you counting X-Men? You're not counting
X-Men? Not counting X-Men. Not counting...
This is just the MCU, like the latest Marvel.
The last 10 years. You know, starting with okay. Iron Man. So,
right.
So what is your best? What's your best?
I still have to give it to Guardians 1.
Ah, Guardians. That's my best too, man.
Yay! I mean, music plays such a role for me in movies.
But it's the funniest.
Yeah, it is.
It has like legit... triumphant moments.
Yep.
When they're busting out of that prison, yeah. And Rocket is just blazing.
It was significantly funny. The visuals are very different from the usual stuff. It's like this galactic,
yeah.
Beautiful color.
But like, and but also like in on the joke.
Right.
Like we're right. In a cartoonish space space world.
And then I can't say enough good things about the soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, everything in that movie just...
Right.
I could watch that movie. I bet you I will watch that movie once a year for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, and unlike the second one, the songs were really well woven into every scene they were in.
Yeah.
Like, integrally. Like, it was like, I don't think I could have picked a better song for this moment.
Yeah.
And not only that, but then they actually... play specific roles in some of the scenes. It's great. It's great.
Okay. So, and what's your worst? What's your worst?
Ooh, I don't know if I've seen the worst. I actually probably haven't seen the worst because of the ones that I've seen.
Well, what's your worst that you've seen?
I've seen maybe...
A lot of people say The Incredible Hulk.
Wait, which one? The Edward Norton?
Edward Norton.
That one was not great. I also didn't like...
Or some people don't like Iron Man 2.
Well, I really did not like Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put it as the worst. We're certainly not counting Daredevil or any of that crap.
No.
So...
Yeah, there's like Iron Fist and like...
And I didn't see Thor 2, which I heard was not great.
Okay.
So I guess I would say Age of Ultron, but that's sort of unfair because I'm sure there's worse ones that I haven't seen.
I don't think so. Well, I didn't like Winter Soldier.
But see, that I definitely did like that one, so I can't.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm in the minority. Yeah, most people love most. A lot of people.
I'm very curious why you didn't enjoy that one.
Maybe I need to rewatch it. I watched it twice actually.
You have,
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe one time was on the airplane or something. I think the first time I saw it, I was just kind of confused, and then I watched it again, thinking like, okay, maybe I need to because people were like, oh my god, it's so good.
Many people put it as their number one.
I know,
which I can't go along with, but
To me, I just don't. It just didn't resonate. I think part of the problem is I don't like Captain America's character.
Okay,
like
right,
he's so just wooden, and I don't know.
But so what's interesting though is. In that movie, Winter Soldier, because the first Captain America, I actually liked it better than I thought I was going to like it. Because honestly, I had sort of no interest in... When I was a kid, I really liked
the character. Yeah, I liked the first one. The first one I thought was great.
Right. And when I was a kid, I liked the character. But as an adult, I sort of lost all interest on Captain America. When I saw the first movie, I was like, whoa, they sort of pulled it off. But the thing they did in the second movie that I really liked... is the guy was fighting like a total badass. Like he was he seemed superhuman as a fighter.
Yeah.
In the first one, he was more just like super strong and stuff. But in the second one, the action sequences seemed really...
See, that, and we've talked about this before. This is exactly what I don't like about these movies. Is,
I see.
Is that in the first movie, he seemed like a normal human
relatable.
Being
yeah.
who was stronger mm-hmm. and faster and... had, you know, could heal a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. But if you shot him in the chest with the bullet or you yeah. punched him in the face, it still would affect him.
Right.
Whereas by the time you get to Winter Soldier and beyond,
is he getting to Legolas level?
He's basically like Superman. I kind of yeah. feel like everyone is Superman. Whereas Quill, you get no sense that he's Superman.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
They are definitely, it is true that they're making, there's a inflation happening.
Right.
Because, for example, in the last one, which is what we'll get to talk about, what's her name? The Black Widow? She's just a fighter. She doesn't have super strength.
Right.
She's just a trained fighter.
Well, and she is like a graceful.
Yeah, she's a ballerina, graceful thing.
Yeah.
But she's battling celestial aliens that came down with superpowers.
Right.
Like it's just like another jiu-jitsu match.
Well, and the same goes for T'Challa's general. I can't remember her name, but you know, in Black Panther.
Oh, right.
The main general yeah. woman yeah. with the spear.
Yeah.
She is presumably just a
human,
regular human
with super good fighting skills
and a really kick-ass spear.
That's true. She's not an alien with superpowers.
No.
And okay, that's fair that the spear is made out of the magic material, yeah. but that doesn't mean she doesn't shoot lasers. She's not wearing like impermeable armor like
no.
Black Panther is.
No. So, yeah. So now I will what I learned in this latest, you know, movie, Infinity War. Infinity Wars? Infinity War?
Infinity War.
I realized that even if you make everyone like Superman, I will still totally love a movie
yeah.
if you make it a fun story.
Yeah,
if you like, make it fun. It's, yeah. it's, I'll only start to critique that portion if I'm getting a little bored.
Right.
You know, and that's was the Winter Soldier for me. And I realized, because like on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 89, Winter Soldier.
Right.
It's one, but really, there's a lot in the 80s and a lot in the 90s. Anyway, so I'm going to give my ranking and then you can kind of chime in.
Okay.
So my best is Guardians and then I have like near best.
Okay.
Is my next category. And so Guardians, I gave a 9 out of 10.
Nice. I would too, probably.
I might even bump it up to a 10 or something. But these are all 8s for me. So Avengers Infinity War, I gave it 8.
Avengers Infinity War is the one we just saw. You're saying that's in your second category
right.
of greatness. Okay.
Yeah. Where would you put it up there?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, that's probably right.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like my number 2, but it's definitely in my second category of...
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard for me to put in order. That's why I don't like to
right.
do that. Cause,
but it was really... I would have really had some serious issues with a lot of things, just like some people do with certain DC movies. But I can't because it's such a complex thing and they really do pull it off. It's like, I can't be angry about tiny little details all over the place.
Yeah, certainly. As, you know, like with the Star Wars movies, you can nitpick it. But the overall, I mean, when you just think about all the ways they could have screwed that up.
Right.
There are so many ways with Infinity War that they could have screwed that up. And
totally. And
even to the nerds who read these comic books forwards and backwards are seemingly satisfied.
Yeah.
And that is a feat, you know?
Right. And you know, I read the Infinity Gauntlet graphic novel.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. In the novel, right after he snaps his fingers, does he lose the gauntlet in the? Because in the movie he loses. Spoiler alert, Ed, by the way.
Yeah.
In the movie, he loses the gauntlet.
It like damages his hand or something.
Well, I think it just goes away or
no, he still has it, but like his hand's damaged. Like he can't.
Oh.
Like something's gone wrong with it.
Oh, right.
Right.
But in the comics,
no, the gauntlet's unfazed.
He just snaps and he gets to do it again if he wants to.
If he wanted to, yeah. So that's not how they definitely have to something has to happen to outsmart him.
Right. And I think that's a smart move for Infinity War, because if he's in, if he's like invincible God, you know, universe affecting snapping of the fingers, then how would you explain the next movie?
Well, not only that, because in the, so in the graphic novel, they, do you mind if I give some spoilers of the graphic novel?
I know, I've heard it all. Like, he is trying to impress this
right. Okay,
woman.
So this is the thing. The motivation in the graphic novel is way better, because in the movie they try to do this like, oh, I'm going to population control the universe, the galaxy. And so it's like, come
well,
on.
Well, I kind of like that, because even though it seems a little funny, it's like, well, couldn't you snap your fingers and just give double abundance to everything? But I sort of liked the tone, because it's something, to me at least, way more relatable than trying to impress this death girl.
I guess where you're coming from, because for me, it's not a death girl, right? Like, Thanos in the comics is one of the most powerful beings in the universe anyways, let alone with the Infinity Gauntlet. So he has no mundane desires like, I need more gold. I want to take over a planet. His desire is he's trying to win
but
the love.
But in the movies, he didn't want gold or
no,
take
no,
over
I know. What I'm saying is, like, in the graphic novel, they needed to give him something that was believable within the realm of comics, because he's the most powerful. But so what the angle they went with is he is in love, madly in love with death.
Right.
And not like someone that's into death, the manifestation of universal death.
Right.
And she wants nothing to do with him.
Right.
And he's tried everything. He's massacred planets. He's murdered everything. He's tried so many things. And so he comes
so
up with this.
So he's like trying to sacrifice to her.
Yeah.
Like, so like he, look at me. I can
yes.
offer up all these
you
souls.
You love death, right? And so then he comes up with this cockamamie plan of like, fine, I will kill off half of the universe for you. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's how he's doing it. And because they set that up in the graphic novel, he has a weakness, because he's so into, like, see, you see, he's got this like weakness about his obsession about it.
But can you imagine making that into the movie?
Well, no, because they would have had to set it up. It would have been sort of out of nowhere.
Well, that,
know?
Well, but
even in the graphic novel, death is an entity that they've had right. before.
But even if they did set that up, I just feel like that would not, it wouldn't, the way that they did it, which I like when they do this, like they did it with Black Panther, where the villain, you have some shred of empathy for, and you understand them on some level,
right.
You know? In Black Panther, you have someone who's like, look, we can't be isolationists in Wakanda. They're, all of our people around the world in
right.
general are being oppressed and lynched and killed, and we've sat here and done nothing.
Right.
Let's do something about it. And if you're not going to do something, I'm going to come back there and take over the country, and I'm going to do something about it. But then that mentality in that person is taken too far, and he wants to actually become the ruler of the world and basically become the oppressor himself, and
right.
so blah blah blah. But so with Thanos, it's like, you know, I guess when I really think about it, it makes no sense. But
no.
when I watched and I saw it twice,
yeah.
when I watched it, it felt like, okay,
right.
you know, overpopulation.
Well, it makes sense from the context of a mad Titan, which is what he is. Because it makes the same sense.
I don't get the whole Titan thing.
Oh, sorry. That's just because he's
Titan,
from...
Titan is a planet?
He's from a race called the Titans.
Because, yeah, because whenever they said Titan, I'm like, Titan the moon?
No.
Because that's confusing. Cause
wait, actually. Which planet is that a moon of?
Titan is a moon of Saturn.
Saturn? Sorry. Yes, actually, that's right. That's why.
That's where they live?
His people are from Titan.
So in the movie, when they go to Titan, they're going to the moon Titan?
Yeah.
Because the gravity's all off.
Well, I don't know if... I don't know if in the movie that's where they're going. But in the graphic novel, he's from the moon Titan from Saturn.
Okay.
There's
so it used to be the biggest moon because they included the atmosphere, because they couldn't tell.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually they discovered, oh, it's actually kind of fluffy because the atmosphere in Ganymede is bigger,
yeah.
Slightly, if I remember my...
Keep in mind, when they wrote him in, it's like 60s.
Totally,
right?
I get that. But in the movie, I'm like, I got the impression, like, we're not on the moon Titan because this... That doesn't make any sense. And he can't be from Titan because...
His people in the graphic novel are from Titan.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So, but anyways, my point is that it makes sense in the same way that the following makes sense to him. Oh, I know I killed your mother and almost everyone you knew, but I rescued you. Therefore, that's why I love you, Gamora. Right. It's like, none of that made sense. But to you, it must make sense. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To you, it makes sense.
Right.
But the reason I hate you is because that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And that's the situation. It's the same reason why Gamora didn't see the blind spot of, oh, wait, there is someone he cares about. It's me. Because how would she imagine that that's the case when he pitted all his children to fight each other to nearly to the death and tortured Nebula and all these other things? Like, it doesn't make sense, right? I mean, it makes sense if you're freaking Thanos. But it doesn't make sense if you're a quote-unquote a normal alien. And so, back to our situation, what I was trying to get at is in the graphic novel, it makes sense that they were able to outsmart him because he has a weakness. His weakness is his obsession for Lady Death. Hmm. And they were able to exploit that in the graphic novel. In the movies, they have not set anything of that up. And he really has no mental weakness in that sense. Because what are they going to say? Like, well, we'll kill you, someone you care about. I care about no one. Well, like, what else is that? What could they possibly, like, manipulate him with?
Yeah.
Right? But... that's why I think they needed to disable the glove temporarily, because they need some plausible explanation for how they can actually come back from all this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any predictions about what they're going to do?
Well, obviously, Doctor Strange said that there was only one timeline in which it worked, or one, you know.
Yeah.
And that probably included him giving him the thing.
Right.
So what's probably going to happen is Nebula, because Nebula in the graphic novel plays a big role.
Right.
So she's coming back and she wants revenge. And
right. I think it's totally obvious that Nebula is going to play a massive role, because when I learned about the graphic novel and then I saw what I saw in Infinity War, and then I was like, wait, the one thing that's kind of been bothering me about the movies leading up to this movie was the whole Nebula side, like in Guardians 2, she's like a sideline. Guardians 1, she's a sideline.
Right.
And I'm always like, who cares about Net? I think they knew way back when, from the very beginning when they introduced Thanos, that they were going to follow that graphic novel thing. And that, you know, because every movie, it's like the Nebula psyche is just getting more and more screwed up.
Right.
She... at first, they begin it with Nebula and Gamora are kind of yin and yang of daughters of Thanos who have
and Nebula's been, trying to be the loyal one.
And, well, they're both kind of trying to be loyal, but Gamora internally has more morals and breaks free. But Gamora or Nebula hates Thanos just as much as anyone else
true,
does. But Nebula is just pure rage, you know, and so. So Nebula and Gamora have had this sort of back, they've had a Loki Thor thing going back. And every time I saw it, I was like, who cares about this? It's like totally a side plot, but now I'm convinced they're setting up some massive tragedy that's going to happen in the next one where Nebula is going to finally redeem herself in Gamora's name. Cause she knows her sister died. Yep. She hates Thanos. Who has Thanos abused the most in the storyline?
Right.
No one comes close to
not at all.
Yeah, and Nebula symbolizes in the story every evil thing that Thanos has done, and what more poetic justice would it be for Nebula to be the final blow?
Yeah.
Having said that, I know Iron Man has to be involved.
Of course, and the Hulk.
And the
Hulk's going to have to make a comeback.
And that they wrote that in a long time ago, too.
Right.
Because it's like they wanted to have Thor Ragnarok where he's all Hulk.
Right.
And then he can't get Hulk to come back all the way through Infinity War. And then that's going to be a major moment.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to wait till that emerges. You know, who knows what's going to happen there. Thor has to play a role, obviously. And obviously Captain America.
Right.
So, and I also think Iron Man's going to die.
Yeah, I've heard that said.
Well, because Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to do it anymore.
Okay.
And
they need a big, big sacrifice in
right,
the movie.
Right. They need someone to go, and it would make poetic sense as well because yeah. Iron Man started the whole thing off. Yeah. And really, do we need more Iron Man? And the other thing is, like, what I've heard is the next set of movies moving into the future are going to be like the Young Avengers, mm-hmm. and it's going to be Spider-Man and
Scarlet Witch?
And Captain Marvella?
Captain Marvel.
But is the woman's name different, or did they keep Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel.
Okay.
So there's a whole thing with the power from Marvel and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who's played by Brie Larson?
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
I didn't know.
She has a standalone movie coming out in between.
I didn't know she had a movie. I knew they were making a Captain Marvel movie. I didn't know who the actress was.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know little. I mean, I started reading about her recently because I really didn't know much about
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Or the actress.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
But she's, I don't know which version they're going with, but there's a version of Captain Marvel that's way overpowered. Like way more
right.
than.
Well, did you ever watch Shazam as a kid?
Oh, is that what it's from?
Yeah, Shazam and Captain Marvel are the same thing.
No, wait, no. Sorry, it can't be. No.
Wait.
I know why you're confused. Captain Marvel, that Captain Marvel is Shazam, but that's DC.
Really?
Yes.
There's so a Captain Marvel
in
DC?
There's a Captain Marvel in DC, and there's a Captain Marvel in Marvel.
There's a cat. Oh yeah, that's Shazam.
Yes.
Oh, there's a Captain Marvel in MC. In my mind, I'm like it was right, the same right. person.
No, it's not. But
so Captain Marvel in the Marvel universe has always been a girl.
Yes, but I believe there was someone called Marvel or something, and I don't know if that was.
Well, there's
a girl
Ms. Marvel.
There is Ms. Marvel, who she goes by either Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel.
Okay. I'm glad you cleared that up for me because. This whole time, I thought she was Shazam.
Yeah, no, Shazam, by the way, very overpowered because he's got like the power of all the gods, right?
Right.
Of the Greek gods, but...
But Captain Marvel
in Marvel, she has, at least in one version, she has like the power of light. And I mean like electromagnetism, like energy. You know? So like, you know how Hulk, he's gamma... It's like Hulk, the reason I'm such a fan of the Hulk character... is because ultimately, in theory, you can make an argument that he's the most powerful container in the universe because he contains potentially unlimited gamma power, and gamma power is the strongest energy in the universe, right?
But so you could also argue all of us have quantum level energy, so therefore we all...
No, but I mean, I'm talking about... comics, right? So but the point is that, as you probably know, the angrier he gets, the more powerful he gets.
Yeah.
The reason that is in the explanation of the comics is because he channels, in theory, he can channel the entire gamma power of the universe.
Well, but that's like saying, yeah, because it's the equivalent.
I'm not making the rules.
But it's equivalent to it having all of the radio, you know, radiation.
Sure, except if you have all the radiation, gamma is stronger. Now, there's this whole series called World Breaker Hulk, you know, Planet Hulk and World Breaker Hulk and stuff like this, where he was sent away by the Avengers because he was a risk. And so they sent him away. And he lands in this place that is the planet in Thor Ragnarok. Mm. But he's got this whole storyline where he does become the ruler of that world, and then these terrorists kill his wife and all of his family and stuff. And he's so enraged, more than he's ever been ever before, that he comes back to Earth and beats everyone up. Everyone. The only person that draws a standstill with him is this guy called the Sentry, who is essentially the Superman of the Marvel. So, but even then, he doesn't like beat him. They're just like, they get exhausted
so
in battle.
How will Ms. Marvel play a role in the next Infinity War movie?
I don't know, but obviously the indication is that, what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
He's calling in the big guns. But I always laugh at that. It's like, why just now. Like,
yeah.
What about the previous alien invasion?
Well, I think they're going to explain that, right?
Hopefully,
In the next, because again, I trust the MCU people to make it all fit. You know,
sort of
like she maybe she became Ms. Marvel recently, and she's off doing something. Or the other implication that I heard was that they want to go with a different philosophy for the Young Avengers, and they're going to be kind of in response to the original Avengers. And they're going to be like less, you know how the original Avengers are like, we can do it. And then the Young Avengers are going to be like, look, every time you think you can do it, like you just cause more problems.
I see.
And so you have to be, and I think so Ms. Marvel might be like not wanting to be a part of the Avengers because she disagrees with the philosophy of calling attention to yourself, which causes bad things to come to Earth, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Guardians of the Galaxy number one, my number two category, we have Infinity War, Thor Ragnarok, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I loved Guardians of the Galaxy, that world so much that even though Guardians of the Galaxy 2 isn't that great of a movie,
it still had
all the characters.
I really enjoyed it too, to be fair. I was a little more, like, especially the middle part, I was a little less engaged.
Yeah, it seemed just like, wait, so the dude's a god? And, you know,
And then I also felt the soundtrack on its own, really great. But it wasn't as closely woven into the movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, I put in this category. I really like Doctor Strange.
Which I tried watching with you in the theater and then tried watching it again on my own. And both times, not because of it, but because of me,
I fell asleep.
Yeah. So I've still never seen the whole thing.
And I love Ant-Man.
Oh, I really enjoyed Ant-Man.
A lot of people don't like Ant-Man, but I liked it. Yeah.
That was funny.
I liked it because it was funny. I think Ant-Man might have come out around the same time as Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Who really thought that's going to be good?
Right. and I just liked it because it was just a simple story and it wasn't trying to be serious and it wasn't trying to tie in all these other things. It was just a simple story, and I don't know. And it was kind of originally, you're like, oh, so you're small, and you're like, oh, you write on.
I really like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I really like him.
And Black Panther, I put this one. A lot of people consider Black Panther to be their favorite MCU movie.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I actually had quite a few problems with Black Panther.
Really?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I sat there
twice in the theater. What number out of 10 would you give?
I think, didn't I say I gave it a 7 or something?
Okay.
I mean, the problem for me is that it was overhyped, right? So when I went inside, I was already like hearing perfect 10s, all these things.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect.
Well, why do you think that is? Did we talk about this?
I don't know if we ever did. I mean,
why do you think people were, I mean, there are people who are talking about Black Panther as like the best movie in 10 years kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I clearly get the cultural significance.
Yeah.
But that doesn't explain some of the commentary I hear.
Right.
Because it's one thing to say, like, if someone said something like, look, Get Out and Black Panther are two of the most important movies of the last decade, I'd be like, I could buy that. Now, there might be people to disagree. Like, what about Moonlight? What about some of these other social topic movies? And I don't know, right? But I'm saying I could sort of see the point, right? like, this is a movie that proved you could have a $1 billion franchise with black actors.
But in terms of, like, enjoyment.
But in terms of enjoyment, there were things about it that actually bugged me. Like, the premise is these people are in this secluded society. They don't reveal themselves to the world, and they're rich because of this magical material that does everything. It heals wounds. It's the strongest material. It does everything. What did you need it to do? It does it. But they can't be wealthy.
That's another complaint. It's like whenever, so everyone is basically Superman and invincible, and any technology is basically just, you know, we're talking a million years in the future, you know?
Right.
Wakanda isn't just advanced. They have technology and materials that I can't even imagine how they would work.
Right.
You know?
And then there were a couple things that specifically bugged me. One of them was they did a little bit of Three's Company because the the guy who shows up and steals the bad guy, in other words, the what is it? The Black Panther's cousin,
yeah.
right? Shows up and steals the bad guy.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan shows up and steals the bad guy. Later, he shows up and he's like, here, I caught this guy for you guys, right? Yeah. And at no point does the Black Panther guy clarify, hold the horses.
Yeah.
We had him. We were bringing him back.
Well,
he stole him
but I kinda,
from
when,
us.
When I had a problem with that too, but when I watched it the second time, it made sense in a sense if you kind of give them a little bit.
Because he was feeling guilty?
No, in that by the time Michael B. Jordan shows up, he brought the guy as a way to get in. And sure. then once he gets into the throne room, he starts kind of making some sense because yes. he's talking about we shouldn't be sitting here isolating. We should get out there. And there's, and you right. can tell like there's some tribes.
Some people going,
we're kind of like, you know, I've always kind of, and the kings of old, including T'Challa's father, were always like, no, 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 we need right. to, we need to be safe. And so he caused a spark and then he challenged and T'Challa accepted the challenge.
Right. But to be fair, the guy from Get Out.
Yeah.
He has been loyal to a fault. To the Black Panther, right? He didn't challenge him for his rulership. He supported him in all cases. He's only mad at him because he thinks he let the bad guy get away.
Right.
But the only reason the bad guy got away is because yeah. Michael B. Jordan stole him.
They needed some scene there, but it was more than that because when the guy from Get Out, which I know his name, but I know I'm going to butcher it anyway. He goes to T'Challa and says, make sure you get Claw because Claw has killed my family.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's some kind of, he's busted up about it. And so he's not thinking quite straight about the topic. Anyway.
Well, anyways. And then the other part about it is him and his wife, I think they're married.
Who?
The warrior gal is, I think, the wife of the, okay.
Right.
They're sitting there on the battlefield, right? Like killing each other. They're killing each other. The rhino shows up and stops at the last second in front of the gal. And then they have this like sort of cutesy couples moment. And I'm like, you are murdering everyone. Like,
right.
All of a sudden everything's okay.
Right. Well, and that's part of the problem that I have with all these movies, which is whenever they get to that culminating battle where you have all I see is cartoon. That's all I see.
Well, but these are the same people that are saying best movie ever, all these things. We're like, Martha, oh, my childhood is ruined.
Right, exactly.
Anyways,
so that's
I'm done
my,
with that tire.
So those six are in my near best. Avengers, Infinity War, Ragnarok, Guardians 2, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Black Panther. The next category I say is good, and this is my sevens.
Okay.
Which is actually, when I see a movie and I walk out and I'm like, that was a good movie. Like, I give that a enthusiastic thumbs up. That's what a seven is. These are all those. Iron Man, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man 3. I actually, not a lot of people liked 3. I liked it because, again, it felt more small.
I liked 3. I didn't like 2 as much. I liked 3.
Yeah. The first Avengers movie.
Yeah, that was fun.
I gave that. Civil War. I liked Civil War.
I was okay with it.
I watched that one again and liked it more the second time. Yeah. Because again, it has a lot of plot where I'm like, huh? Mm-hmm. Spider-Man Homecoming, I gave a 7 as well. And then the next category is Netflix, which is 6s and 5s, which is like totally watched on Netflix. You'll like it, you know? The first Thor movie, the first Avenger, Captain America, Thor 2.
I did not see that one. But I heard it was not good.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, Iron Man 2, Age of Ultron, and The Incredible Hulk.
Okay, so I mostly agree with that, except I would have docked down Age of Ultron. That one really bored me.
Yeah. Well, that whole category, yeah, maybe I would put Age of Ultron down with Winter Soldier. Okay, so Infinity War, directed by the Russo brothers, who also were involved in Arrested Development. I'm rewatching all the Arrested Development.
Oh, are you?
because they're remixing season 4. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I heard.
And they're coming out with a season 5.
That's crazy.
And it's been a while, and I've watched the series a few times before. But did you know when Arrested Development came out? Do you know what year?
2001.
It's not around like 3 or 2. Yeah. So long ago. 2003. Russo brothers also worked on Community. They did Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and they're the directors of the next and final Avengers movie. Written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who also wrote the Narnia movies, First Avenger, Pain and Gain, Thor, Dark World, Captain America, Guardians. Anyway, and of course, it's produced by Kevin Feige. Is that how you pronounce his name? He's basically the Marvel comic universe boss.
Oh, interesting.
But let's take a break, and when we get back, let's continue this. What do you say, Alberto?
Let's do it.
All right, we're back from the break. If there was a patron hero in the Marvel universe, what would his or her powers be?
A patron hero in the Marvel universe, they would certainly be able to,
like Captain Patreon,
right? They would certainly be able to touch someone on the temple and calm them down and make them way more empathetic.
So Kevin Feige, just all the movies: Blade, X-Men, Daredevil, X2, Hulk, Punisher. Do you remember the Punisher in 2004?
Sorry, dude. You know what I just realized?
What?
Our Patreon superhero.
Yeah.
Is going to get called out because they're going to be like touching someone's forehead and they're going to be like, whoa, you're invading my private space.
What would Captain Patreon's villain arch nemesis be?
Oh, yeah. Basically
YouTube commenter.
Yeah, that's right. The YouTube commenter. Their power is basically they can make you angry enough to start trolling on YouTube.
Spider-Man 2, Blade Trinity, Elektra, Man-Thing. I don't remember.
What were you saying about, you just said Daredevil, that there was a Daredevil movie. No, you said...
Yeah, Daredevil.
Yeah, well, that was with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and then basically every MCU this guy has been the producer of.
Kevin, what's his name?
Feige, I believe his name. Can you name all the stars who star in Infinity War? Go.
Okay. Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. I don't know the names. Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Freaking Jurassic... Chris Pratt.
Yeah. There's two more Chris's.
Chris... Oh, right. Not Pine. Chris...
Oh, Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. He's Thor.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. I don't know. I don't know the names.
Okay, you got Mark Ruffalo, Benedict Cumberbatch, Don Cheadle, Tom Holland, Chadwick Boseman, Paul Bettany.
I do know a lot of those names.
So. Elizabeth Olsen, Letitia Wright, Dave Bautista, Zoe Saldana, Josh.
Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. I actually know most of those names.
Peter Dinklage, Samuel Jackson, among others.
I feel so bad.
Like, do you know what the budget was for this movie? What do you think?
It was $600 million.
It's been, some people said that, but it was in Wikipedia, it was $300 to $400 million.
Okay.
Worldwide opening weekend, how much do you think it did?
$1.1 billion.
No, but it did $250 million.
Wait, it worldwide?
Worldwide. It was opening weekend.
Opening weekend. Okay. And it wasn't a 3-day weekend, right?
Where in the, you know, schema of rankings, opening weekend, do you think it is?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it broke records, but maybe it's number 3.
It's number 1.
It is number 1. So I second guessed myself for no reason.
What's number 2? Do you know what
Black Panther?
No.
Okay.
Black Panther is 16.
Wait, really? Because I thought it also broke. Okay.
This is just opening weekend.
Opening weekend overall, number 2.
Worldwide. Yeah.
And adjusted for inflation?
I don't think so.
Okay, Avatar.
But most of these are all... Avatar is not on top... I have the top 30,
Holy
so...
Holy crap, so it got bumped. Okay. Oh, maybe Avatar didn't have a big opening weekend.
Yeah.
And it just made $1 billion.
Right. Okay. What do you think? Or what do you think is in the top 30?
Well, certainly Star Wars...
Which one?
Empire.
Star Wars. Yeah, Revenge of the Sith. Is Empire on here? No. I don't see it.
Okay. The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi is, yes, I saw it somewhere on here.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Yeah,
they are in the, like, the 20s, I believe.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, Half-Bus Prince is number 9.
Okay.
So, Fate and the Furious.
What?
Number 2.
Oh, my God.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. The Furious movies.
Oh, no, I know they're very successful. I totally forgot or didn't know that they were literally almost number 1. Yeah. It was probably just bumped by Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Fate and the Fast and Furious movies, you and I tend to look at them as sort of like, ha ha ha, you know, maybe I'll watch it.
Right.
Maybe I don't care. I pretty much know what's going to happen.
Right, right, right.
And I know I'm not going to like it very much.
Love them.
But not only in the United States, but around the world.
Yeah.
Like, it huge in China.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? And then Force Awakens, number 3.
Oh, of course, Force Awakens.
You're going to die. Deathly Hallows, number 5, so you're right about that.
Okay.
Jurassic World, number 4.
Oh, what?
Are you going to see the next Jurassic movie?
I'm seeing it, but I'm not excited about it.
Usually, I will see a movie just because I'm like, well, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to watch the next one.
No, I don't remember what you said, because I actually enjoyed Jurassic World.
I enjoyed it as a popcorn movie. I think I probably gave it a 5.
I watched it in the theater. I was thoroughly entertained. I understand why some of my critic friends think it's completely vanilla and superficial. Totally get it. But it was it was an enjoyable big screen experience.
For me. Was a monster movie and there were monsters.
But this next one looks bad.
Yeah, the next one just looks so dumb. I mean, it looks comical. The scene where Chris Pratt is in a trailer with a big dinosaur of some kind.
A T-Rex.
And he's trying to not wake it up.
Right.
And then it wakes up, because of course.
Right.
And then there's this scene where Pratt jumps over the thing's head, and it looks so dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was the best scene they could come up with for the trailer.
Well, because the other thing is, keeping in mind that when Jurassic World came out, it's not like we had just had a Jurassic movie. It had been years, like I don't know, over a decade. It had been a long time.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. Show me a new dinosaur movie. Right now, I'm dinosaured out. I'm like, okay, I saw my dinosaur movie.
Yeah.
You put out, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. And what I thought they were going to do was actually use Chris Pratt, because, you know, when you see Chris Pratt in Guardians, you're like, you are using Chris Pratt.
Right.
You know, you got him fit, so you took his shirt off.
Yep.
You have him making all the funny faces. You know, he's sort of like the frat guy, bro guy, you know. And then Jurassic World comes out, and there's not a single joke. It was like, to me, what it felt like was they wrote it for just sort of a random person.
Mm.
And then they're like, well, let's put Chris Pratt. He's a big name. And they didn't write it to him.
Yeah, it wasn't written for him. I did think he was good in it, but I agree with you.
I didn't. I thought anyone could have played that role, as far as I could tell. There was one joke where him and Bryce Dallas Howard are having a little meet cute thing. But anyway, moving on. Batman v Superman, number 7.
Wow, I'm so happy about that. That brings little tears to my heart.
Last Jedi, 6. Furious 7, 8. Half-Blood Prince, 9. Marvel's The Avengers, 10. Age of Ultron, 11. Transformers Dark of the Moon? Is that right? Is that a typo?
Probably not.
12. Spider-Man 3 from 07. Spider-Man 3. Was that still with what's-his-face?
the Storm movie.
He was so big back.
What was
in
that
the
movie?
Day.
The Storm.
Was he in that one?
Yeah.
I just think of God damn it.
Cedar House Rules.
Yeah. Cider House Rules.
Cider House.
Anyway, so talking about Infinity War, I liked the fact.
Tobey Maguire.
I liked the fact there were so many characters. Because they had a really hard time, they had a really big job to do, and I think they pulled it off well.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good storytelling, and the movie moves blazingly fast. The first number of scenes are really well tied together in terms of transitions, because we start off on the one of the ships from Asgard.
Well, now, I did have a problem with this, because this is one of those cases where they rely on, like, oh, you didn't see the webisode we put out and the...
Oh, really?
Because, like, at the
end of... Was there a webisode?
There were... I don't know if it was webisode, but there was definitely story outside of the movie.
Totally.
Listen, at the end of Thor, they had, like, Ragnarok, or, sorry, Asgard's not a place, it's a people.
Right. And then we start with Infinity War, and they're all...
The people are dead.
Well, but I rewatched it, and I paid very close attention, and...
Half of them are.
Half of them,
he's
right.
He's killed half of them.
Right.
And, but it's still, like, you're like, wait, what just happened?
Right.
Because all we see is that they're getting ingested by a bigger ship at the end.
Right. But I think, again, I think this is similar to Star Wars 8.
Yeah.
And that it's like, someone comes into it, and they, you know, I'm sure they thought, well, let's try to transition all these stories in.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point, like, this movie's going to be 10 hours long.
Right, right, right.
Let's get to what matters. Yeah. And, you know, really, no one really cares about the Asgardians. They care about Thor.
Yeah.
They care about Loki. They care about Thor. They care about Hulk. Yeah, people kind of
I am totally with you on that. Not only that, I do think that it was super effective to set it up that, look, Thor and the Hulk and Loki stood no chance.
Right.
That's great, right? Because you're like, oh, what is this guy?
Right.
The only part I had a problem with, it was confusing for the first couple minutes. I was like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
Why?
When I saw it the second time. In fact, the first time I watched this movie, I left going like, whoa. But then I went home and I was like, wait, I need to watch that again. Because so many things are happening.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And like I said before, even though everyone is basically a god in this movie, even the decidedly normal humans,
yeah,
I completely forgot about that and just really, you know, I felt like this movie really, because in the comic books it's the same thing, like no one really dies, they show people getting punched and
powers, like, are completely inconsistent in the comics,
right?
Yeah.
Someone will get punched and, you know, the Hulk will go, like, you see the Hulk go and he's punched, but like, you can't hurt. You
and
can't
he recovers,
hurt.
So it's
but it's like, but you feel it, you know. That's the beauty of. That's when you know you're doing it right. When it's like, yes, everyone's superpowered, but you still feel the punches.
Right.
You know?
Right. I will say the Battle of Wakanda did bug me though, because in the Black Panther movie, they have all these ships, all these fancy spaceships nearly, right? Like they with weapons on them and all these crazy things. And I don't get the sense that they got all destroyed at the end of Black Panther or anything.
Well, it kind of did, because when they were trying to get off of
the weapons, right?
Yeah.
So they destroyed some of them. But I guess maybe they should have pointed that out a little better, because I was thinking, so they have this most advanced technology on Earth.
But it's all basically...
But they're fighting with lances?
Right.
Why not call the freaking armies of the Earth that have planes and jet fighters that can carpet bomb the hell out of those creatures?
But I didn't notice that. I just want to say.
So I was bugged by it. Not only that, I hated, and maybe I'm just being too stupid here, but it's like when they charge, because I'm like, look, you're just going to tire yourself out. Why are you charging? Running at full sprint. First of all, you can trip and hurt yourself. Second, you're going to arrive at these aliens tired. You don't know if they get tired like you do.
And the ending was, I thought, very well played. I thought, because again, they could have done it so many different ways.
Sure, yeah.
But they focused on particular people dying. And when Spider-Man dies, it's this really sad thing, and he's with Iron Man. That's another reason why I think Iron Man's going to die, because I think Spider-Man is going to be the new kind of linchpin moving forward.
Right.
So he, you know, and he's going to be the one. You know, 10 years from now, there will be, you know, MCU movie number 35, and Spider-Man will be, you know, 25 or 30 by then, and kind of be a grizzled, he'll be going into Iron Man territory, and he'll remember back to his mentor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when I saw it the first time, as it was happening and everyone was dying, there was a woman sitting not near me, but close enough that I could hear her. She was sobbing so loud. And she sobbed loudly for 15 minutes.
Oh.
Like,
was
loud.
She not paying attention? Like, they have the power to reverse time, and they certainly only killed characters that either... Yeah, basically, like, granted, you could say, well, Spider-Man's the main character. Yeah, but they're going to bring him back. Like,
Right. So as I was thinking, wow, you know, she must really care about these characters. But I think, well, if she really cares, she ought to know the way these things usually go.
Black Panther has a sequel coming.
Right, exactly. And so it was, it was a little interesting. But I did hear about a lot of people crying. I mean, to me... even though I know they're all coming back, and frankly, even though I know this is a cartoon made-up world that doesn't actually exist, there were a few of the deaths did get to me a little bit. You know, did they get to you at all?
No,
you didn't care at all.
Well, I couldn't, because I'm like, well, they're only temporary.
They're all coming back.
They're all coming back.
Right.
It would have been better, honestly, if there had been some physical deaths. So someone pointed out, I was watching a YouTube video about the battle in Wakanda. Mm-hmm. That was a chance for someone to, like, quote unquote, really die and give that battle more weight.
Right.
Because in essence, what happened is no one really got hurt severely, or actually almost at all.
Well, the only ones who really died were Loki and the other.
Yeah, right. Early on in the movie, right?
Like, yeah.
But in the, and the robot guy, Sentry. Or not Sentry.
Vision.
Vision, sorry. And actually that one was fairly effective, right? Emotionally,
but
it was...
But they even sort of hinted that maybe Vision is still...
It's still something there.
Like, you can still get him.
Maybe.
Because they were transferring...
Right, right. But I felt when they started disappearing, it wasn't... First of all, Iron Man, the Hulk, and Thor are fine, right? So we still got our heavy hitters. But second, obviously Spider-Man's coming back. Obviously Black Panther's coming back. And I guess in my case, I've read the comics. So I'm like, okay. So I guess that removed some of the stress, you know?
Yeah. So as you were watching it, were you like, okay, interesting?
But to be fair, I wasn't cynical about it. I was just like, if anything, I was glad that they did do it.
What do you think is going to happen? Because I think I heard a rumor that someone saw them shooting new scenes in the past. Like, the next movie is going to go actually back into the past.
Right, right.
When the Avengers first formed or something.
Right. Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
I don't know. Do you think time travel will play a role? Let me ask you that.
Yes. Okay. Definitely.
So, but how? Because
Doctor Strange controlled the time
crystal-y
thingy.
Right.
So he can maybe control it from the past.
It from the past.
Yeah. In the past, he can do shit.
Okay. What else do you think?
I don't think the glove is permanently disabled. I just think the... But maybe it... I don't know. Like, he did say, like, well, there goes my hand or something. I don't know. Like, I'm not entirely sure. If the glove is not permanently disabled, someone else can wield the glove.
Do you think Iron Man's going to die?
I buy your theory. Yeah. In fact, I could see the scenario where Nebula tried to avenge, right, and got really close but couldn't. And finally, Iron Man's got the glove. See, I'm going to invent the final scene.
And then Thor cuts off the hand.
Well, you could do that, right? But I was going to go this route. Iron Man's got the glove, right? And Thanos is sitting there. And now Thanos knows that Iron Man could just end Thanos, right? And Iron Man's giving his little speech. You should have known better not to kill half of everyone, blah, blah, blah. But Thanos, because he's so smart, he quickly morally wounds Iron Man and says, ha, now you... Oh, no, I know what... Sorry, back up for a second. Iron Man says, I'm going to destroy the glove so no one else can use it. But Thanos mortally wounds Iron Man and says, ha, now if you destroy your only chance to save yourself, blah, blah, blah. But Iron Man's like, fuck it. And he's like, destroys the glove. And in the process, Thanos and and Iron Man die because Thanos was already mortal.
And everything gets reversed. So
everything gets reversed already by the reversal happened earlier.
Oh,
because Nebula got the glove and reversed shit.
Oh, man, it's complicated.
I don't know.
Another good thing about Infinity War is that there was no Hawkeye.
I love Hawkeye. I love Hawkeye. I was actually sad that he wasn't in it. Because unlike Black Widow and freaking the fighter from the...
He actually has power.
He actually has his power, he does not miss. Yeah. He cannot miss.
Yeah. And he has like cool arrows.
He's got special arrows.
Different arrows. Do you know what game Groot was playing?
Oh, it was like one of those little handheld football games or whatever, but I don't know the name of it.
It was Defender.
Oh, was it Defender?
Yeah.
Wait.
Defender, you know, because there was the coin-op Defender game that was really hard.
Did
you ever play that?
The handheld. Yes, I played the coin-op, yeah.
They came out with an Atari version that was like pretty good approximation for the time. And they also came out with a handheld.
A little handheld.
That was like the football game.
It didn't look like Defender.
Well, if you see it again, it actually says Defender on the
top.
Did it?
Okay,
yeah.
I just didn't pay attention.
Another thing, Tobias Funke is in the collector's collection because, you know, in his blue outfit. Tobias Funke from Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Tobias Funke.
Why is he in there?
Because the director's... got their start.
Oh, because they wrote the rest. Okay,
yeah.
There was no Howard the Duck this time.
Yeah. Bad things about this movie, mostly nitpicking stuff, is, yeah, we know they're not actually dead. Again, the Winter Soldier is back again. I just hate that character, Bucky. It's like, I just don't understand.
You didn't like his flowing mane?
Yeah.
And he dies at the end.
He did?
Yeah, he was one of the people that disappeared.
Yeah. Red Face showed up, which I did not.
Red Skull.
I did not understand that at all.
That one, it only makes sense to comic people.
Okay.
Because apparently in the comics, there was a storyline that... But in the movie world, the Red Skull, you mean the guy from the first
Captain?
Yeah, I'm Captain,
like, huh?
What?
Okay. Iron Man's suit is getting ridiculous. In the first Iron Man movie... It was like I watched a scene from the first Iron Man movie. It is so toned down.
Right.
Like
it can do cool stuff, but come on.
It's still pretty like advanced in the first movie. But now and with Spider-Man's suit, it's like so basically you seem, you know, Robert Downey Jr. character, Tony Stark, you seem to be able to make anything you want. And as many of them as you want. Because remember one of the Iron Man movies?
Right.
He had like dozens of automated Iron Man suits that could that could operate independently.
Right.
As basically good robots. And he didn't even have to risk himself.
Right.
And it just gets stupid.
And not only that, because, you know, he can think about how he's controlling all these functions, right? It's all... enhanced by the super intelligent AI, right?
Yeah.
Fuel, not an issue. Like, right. He never runs out. Like it's crazy.
Right. He somehow invented material and things that essentially doesn't make sense in the universe. You know, Hulk makes sense because there's one Hulk. Tony Stark, if he wanted to, he could mass produce these things and never have to leave home.
Right. Because if every soldier, don't even give them to all billion people, right? Just give them to like a million soldiers.
Or Captain America.
Right.
Or you know what I mean?
Right. Why doesn't Captain America get to pilot around one of these suits?
And they're invincible. And they're nanotech, apparently. Apparently nanotech means basically magical fairy dust.
You can reinvent any material.
Yeah, out of nothing.
Out of nothing.
So, which makes no... You know, I just saw that... Just call it nanotech.
It's nanotech.
nanotech, to be clear to everyone, nanotech are small machines, essentially. If you want to make a big machine out of a bunch of small machines, you need a shit ton of small machines.
Right.
In fact, enough to make it...
That
so,
big thing that you're making.
Yeah. A nanotechnology doesn't mean you can create something out of nothing.
Right.
Which is what this thing does. Apparently, it's like a microscopic thing that lives on his body somewhere and then suddenly materializes this this extremely complicated
well,
suit.
Well, like the Wakanda suit is the same, right? He's got his little collar.
Totally.
And all of a sudden, vroom, nanotech.
Right. Yeah. That kind of stuff bugs me. Again, because in the first Iron Man movie, it's still a stretch, but it's still based kind of in the physical realm. You know, it's not a magical fairy dust. And so Iron Man
like,
suit.
I see where you're getting at. Like, you want your heroes to be clearly delineated. Okay, you're a Norse god. Fine. You got a magical hammer.
You're a god. Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
You are an inventor with modern US or like, you know, world technology.
Right.
So you invent the best thing possible on Earth this time frame.
Right.
But it's not magic.
It's not magic. Right. Yeah. And T'Challa, I mean, I guess with vibranium, like...
That really, is magic, I guess.
You really don't know what it can do, so it's like, okay.
No, but that's unfair because, like, vibranium was presented originally as, like, this super strong material that could reflect almost any attack.
Right.
Hence, it's the shield, Captain America's shield.
Right.
But how does that feed them? How does that heal them?
Right.
How does that...
It does everything that they want it to do, and I just feel like it's a little bit of lazy writing. Like, they didn't need Iron Man's suit to be what it was. Like, there's nothing plot, but they just think it's cool. And it's the Transformers effect.
Right.
Like, when you watch Transformers and they transform into a car, you're watching it transform and it makes no sense. When you watch the original Transformers in the cartoons, those cartoons were based on actual toys.
Yeah.
Like, my little brother had Optimus Prime.
I had Optimus Prime.
And Optimus Prime actually looked like a semi-truck. Yeah,
and it transformed into a robot.
And it transformed into a robot.
And the robot looked like the semi.
Right.
Because he had that light still and all that stuff. Yeah.
Because it's not a magical thing. Like, it's a robot, you know? Whereas in Transformers, it's just like, it's this magical metal that just can, like, transform into anything.
Right.
Form of a teacup, you know?
And, like, and you could say anything you wanted about the intelligence level of the Transformers, but mechanically, at least for a kid, they made sense.
Yeah.
And when you played with the toy, the truck was a truck and rolled like a truck.
Exactly.
The robot was a robot and stood like a robot.
Right. Like Gundam, when you see that and transform it back into an airplane and then into it, like there are sacrifices that they make. Like, you know, you got to keep the wings, for example. And it doesn't look great on a robot, but where are the wings going to go, you know? So anyway.
Right, whereas the new Transformers are nanotech.
Right. another thing, Spider-Man suit. The other thing is, it's like, what does Vision do?
Well, he used to be super powerful, they completely nerfed him.
Right.
He used to be able to walk through things. Used to be able to be super strong and fly these things.
I watched in the second time when he gets stabbed by
he
one.
He says, "Oh, my phasing doesn't work."
Right, but in my mind, I thought, well, didn't he have like? Didn't he was marketed to me prior to this movie as being like this mysterious,
yes,
all powerful creature,
right,
who decided to not use his powers all the time because he didn't care.
Right.
But he could shoot lasers out of his thing. And,
yeah.
But in this movie, it was like once he was stabbed.
Well, even before he was stabbed, he was like, "Oh, they're coming to attack us." Oops.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first movie we saw him in, it was sort of like, "Oh, geez, this is like almost like a Dr. Manhattan." You
right.
Know?
Like, yeah. Like, you can't touch this guy. He seems above it all.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's like,
"Oh, just, they stabbed me. I can't phase."
Just a regular guy, yeah.
They stabbed me with anti-phasium.
Oh, we haven't talked about this yet. I need you to maybe explain this to me, but I didn't like this was when Star-Lord basically ruins everything by getting upset before they get the gauntlet off.
I did not like how they did that. So I would have been okay if in the heat of the moment, like, you know, he's being his normal self. He's teasing Thanos, whatever. It's like, now what? Now what? And somehow Thanos is like, "Now what is that I killed Gamora?" or something, right?
Right.
And in the heat of that moment, he's like, "No!" And he punches you, like, because, you know, he doesn't have a moment to think it through. But instead, the scene is him going, "What?" And then Tony going, "No, don't. Just calm down. Listen to what's at stake." He's like, "What?" And there's like a good minute or so that goes by. And then even with all that time, he's like, "Fuck it. I'm ruining the universe."
Right. And that made it's good. So I saw that scene correctly.
Yes.
That scene makes no sense.
No. Especially...
Like, they never played up... Like, if it was Hulk, it would make sense, because Hulk loses his temper. But Quill, that's not his character.
In fact, oh my God, how awesome would it have been? Of course, it would have had to be a different thing than Gamora and stuff. But, like, imagine if that would have been a moment where Bruce is like, no, Bruce, not now! No! You know, like that. Instead, they pick the character. Sure, he's impulsive, but not universally
impulsive. And sure, he's up... And, yeah, and he's upset, but... Dude, you are this close to saving the universe and killing Thanos.
And killing Thanos.
You got to get the thing off. You know, like, it's very close.
They actually sort of made him come off a bit of a moron.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. And that's what, Quill, you said it was your favorite. Definitely my top three. And...
Like, how did that happen? Yeah. Yeah, that was a dumb scene. There's so many other ways you could have done it, like... But I think the writers were like, they're like, okay, we need to have, I guess, unrestraint become a problem so that in the next movie, so I bet you in the next movie, Quill will exhibit restraint and it'll be like his moment, you know? But
I agree. I did not like how they played that moment.
Yeah.
There's so many other ways to nearly beat the bad guy and you're thwarted at the last minute. Having one of your main characters be totally stupid is not a good way to do it.
And I love the way that whole scene came together because they were working as a team.
Totally.
They even got Mantis involved. Totally. Like it was a great scene. All right. So what's the final word, Birdo?
Well, I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done in spite of all the...
Did you say out of 10 what you give it?
I give it an 8.
Yeah. I gave it 8. Yeah.
So I will watch it again, and I'm looking forward to the sequel.
Yeah.
So I guess it's Avengers 4 or something like that?
Well, that's working title. But it'll probably be like, you know, the final battle or something. you know, everyone comes back to life, you know. The Avengers return.
Now, there is someone that they teased in one of the other movies. That I think they need to bring him in, but maybe they're not going to.
Who?
There's this super, super powerful entity called Adam Warlock. Huh. And in the graphic novel, he plays a big role. But here, I haven't seen...
They teased him in Ragnarok, I thought.
That not Ragnarok, in the other one, the Guardians 2.
Oh.
In Guardians 2... Wait, what's the one with all the army? Yeah, that's Guardians 2, right? They have this army of interstellar fighters.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Guardians 2.
The golden people.
The golden people. That's where they teased Adam Warlock.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I heard they're not going to do that because it would take too much time and it would throw off the whole thing.
I see.
Right?
Maybe. Because they need big guns because this is the thing. They can't throw freaking Black Widow at the problem.
Yeah.
By the way, did Black Widow disappear or is she still around?
I don't remember. Yeah. Right. So it's like at the beginning of the next movie, Thanos will be looking into the sunset satisfied.
Yeah.
Because he did his job.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for him to continue.
Right.
So that's interesting. So that'll be a tough one. How do you get... Because his whole thing was he was trying to... So he would have to like say, well, now I have a new mission, which is to kill the other half.
No. That's why I think that it's not starting with him having a motivation. It's starting with the people, the survivors having a motivation.
To like,
and somehow Tony Stark or whoever figures out a way to get a message back to Doctor Strange in the past and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, get a message back.
Yeah.
It was a super funny line when Wong saves Iron Man. You know, Iron Man is defenseless and... The guy with the weird axe thing is like coming down on at the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is coming down and then Wong creates one of those portals.
Oh, right.
And the guy goes through and Tony Stark is running away and he's like, "You're invited to my wedding, Wong."
That's right. Yeah, I love. Oh man, he is definitely one of the most entertaining pieces.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun to see like the different pairings. You know, the Doctor Strange, Tony Stark, and then you had Tony Stark. And Quill, and then you had Quill and Thor, and and then when you had Black Widow with T'Challa's general, with
right.
Letitia. Was Letitia in that fight in the, at that moment? They just they thought real. It was very thoughtful in terms of the other thing that I didn't realize watching it the first time was because you know end of Civil War. I thought the next Avengers movie was going to be like full out battle between Iron Man and his people and Captain America and his people. But in this movie, they basically just kept
them apart.
They kept them apart.
Yeah.
Like they never met. Iron Man and Captain America never meet.
Wait, that's true. Cause we ended with that final battle. That was pretty intense between Cap and Iron Man.
Right.
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 That was the last time.
And they... half of them were in jail, and half of them...
Yeah, right. And they had to escape from jail and go to the
it was a civil war. It
where
was
did
the
they end up going? They escaped jail?
Some island or something. But it was... so they
did
had
they
to...
Did they go to Wakanda? Is that where they went?
So they sent Bucky there.
Yeah, they did send Bucky there.
But anyway, I just thought it would, that was kind of interesting, but... Yeah, because Iron Man, I think in Infinity War, he starts off on Earth, and him and Spider-Man very quickly end up leaving, and they stay up there.
Yeah,
I think.
They stay. So they're not back yet. They're not
right.
Right now, the last thing he just saw Spider-Man disappear. He's still on Titan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he can't fly in, or he probably can fly.
No,
in space.
Apparently he can do anything, but no, he really couldn't get that far.
Right.
No.
Interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to 4, and what I predict is going to happen in terms of the reception is it's going to be good, but it's going to be a letdown
because it has to wrap things up.
Yeah, like I thought about it. I think this movie because this movie has by far the most buzz of any of the movies, and you know did the most opening weekend of any movie of all time. And I think that it benefited because all the different movies, you know, Doctor Strange, Guardians, like everything kind of like was building
to this
melding beauty moment. Whereas the next movie, you're not going to get that enjoyment.
Right.
Because it's like, well, they've already been melded.
It's sort of like how Guardians 1 was part of the fun was them meeting each other, getting to know each other.
Exactly. Then Guardians 2, it's like, well, we know each other. And then, so the next movie I think will be really hard to write to make it really satisfying. Although, if you really nail Tony Stark's death, it could be amazing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like if you really nail certain... characters dying, maybe even more characters will die. Honestly, given the because Chris Evans, I heard, hates playing Captain America.
Oh, does he?
And so Captain America could die too. Because the whole idea is they want to start over. They don't want to do these characters. Even the writers don't want to do these characters. Because really, where are you going to go with Captain America? Where are you going to go with Iron Man?
I wonder why they hate it. It's like the workout regime or something.
Well, when you're Robert Downey Jr., it's like. I'm guessing that these movies completely take over your life.
No, and I get it from his perspective because he's already done so much, made so much money with these things. Like, how many more do you need?
Right. It's just like it gets boring after a while, you know? And you're just like, I want to...
I'm just wondering, Captain America is in a little different boat, but whatever.
Yeah, true.
But still, like, he's also had several movies, gotten paid a ton of money, and maybe he wants to move on too.
Well, if I was Chris Evans, I'd be like, the way you've directed me into a corner with this character, I'm so tired of it. I basically am playing a boring Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing exciting about this character.
That's fair.
Plus, the other thing that I think that imagine what it's like to be in these movies is you act for 2 seconds at a time.
Yeah, the green screen stuff.
There's probably very few scenes where the cameras are just rolling.
That's a good point. I actually rarely... they were saying that about Ready Player One, too, how like Spielberg was probably not that in that many actual parts of the filming because the filming is... A lot of it was like computer time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He was standing over the shoulder of a computer programmer.
Like, how long is that going to take? Okay, I'll be back in 20 days.
Yeah. Do that. Oh, okay. Yeah. And so was this movie, frankly, and that's what's actually one of the biggest coups, I think, of computer graphics is you have people going to movies now not realizing they're watching a cartoon.
Totally. Right.
They're watching a cartoon with occasional live action elements. Right. And people are like,
yep,
I didn't watch a cartoon. I watched a real movie,
right.
You know? Well, people out there, you just listen to a real podcast in which, and I'm Berto, I'm glad you read the comics. Cause boy, if you hadn't, we would have been beaten up.
Oh no. I hope no one that really knows the comics is listening.
Well, if you... Do you have a Twitter, by the way?
No. I mean, not one I use for any purpose.
How do... You know, I was thinking about this. You need a thing that where people can... Because people will email me to email you.
Right.
And I'm always like, why can't people email Berto?
I could start a Twitter account. I just... I haven't used... I mean, I have one, but I've not used it. But... I also didn't have a reason to use it because, you know, whatever. It's like, what am I going to tweet?
Because
about?
At this point, but in order
now I could tweet about
in order for people to interact with you, they have to go to the fan page or something. Oh, right. By the way, we have a new fan page
right.
moderator. What, so I'm not on the fan page. So has she been making herself known, April?
A bit. Yeah. I mean, she was introduced by Lyndon and
oh, really?
I don't know the backstory.
What did Lyndon say?
Due to he's got a lot of stuff he's dealing with right
so
now.
So Lyndon, famous patron Lyndon in Ireland, was our, I think he actually suggested we create a fan page.
Our tireless fan page curator.
And super fan, came out to Seattle for the last show. And by the way, we're having our next show, August 11, 2018, 10-year anniversary show. I was thinking, Berto, that we could exchange 10-year anniversary gifts, you know.
Ooh,
you know, like,
yes.
How you have like different
silver and
yeah. Do you know
paper.
What? Do you know what 10-year is?
Nope.
tin, or nickel.
It really is tin or nickel.
So we're gonna have to exchange gifts.
All right, I'll give you a nickel.
Yeah,
I'll give you something interesting.
Tin. And so, anyway, we've already had some people saying they're flying in for the
Whoa.
Show. Yeah.
I gotta wear my best tux.
So and I'm pretty sure April is coming. And so anyway, so April Lyndon contacted me and he's like, I for whatever reason I don't have a lot of time to moderate or lead the fan page
right.
on Facebook. Can you find someone else? And you and I were talking about with April because we're gonna do a Jar Jar episode.
Right.
And so I just sort of randomly emailed her and I was like,
Would you be down? Yeah.
And I fully expect her to be like, huh? No. But she's like, totally, I want to do it.
Wow.
And two, this is what she does for a living, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like this, she said something like, this is what I do. This is what I do at my job.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, oh my God, this
That's
is
so
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sad for whatever Lennon's having to deal with. I thought it was because he was upset at me for pulling an April Fool's joke.
So I've posted on our page, uh-huh. but last Thursday, Friday, I was at a party for a professor at my university who is retiring after like 26 years. And someone came up to me afterwards and she's like, you know, just kind of casually talking about things. She's like, oh yeah. And I heard, you know, I saw that you closed the podcast. How, you know, so she's not a fan. She's
right.
just kind of, and she's like, oh, that's interesting. You know, so you closed the podcast. And I'm like, and this is a month and a half after.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, God damn it. And I'm like, no.
Berto.
So there are people out there who actually coming up to me going, so you closed the podcast.
Oh no. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so up until you got to get a Twitter because
yeah, okay, I'll get a Twitter.
Or even a Facebook page. Like you could just create your own Facebook page
I see.
Or something.
One related to this.
Yeah, because people until this
Instagram?
Point when people want to contact you, I'm like, "Well, I don't know, go to the fan page, I guess, you know?"
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could also say that. You could just say like if you want to communicate with Berto.
Certainly, if you tag me on a fan page post, I will see it and I will delete you and block you. No, just kidding. No, and I'll comment. But yeah, I mean, I'll look into, maybe I'll do an Instagram or I'll start Snapchatting and What are the kids doing these days?
Oh my God.
IRQ.
So a couple weekends ago, I was hanging out with some college friends.
Yeah.
And their friends. And they're, from what I could tell, basically our age, you know, 40s. And we're playing games and stuff. And I'm just like, man, we need music. And someone's like, oh, well, I don't know. I might have like a iPod or something. And I'm like, well, I have my laptop and I have Spotify. And they're like, what's that? And I was like, well, you know, it has pretty much every song. And I have a pro account, so there's no ads or anything.
Who still has an iPod?
Yeah. And
was this 10 years ago?
And a couple of people are like, whoa, so you do Spotify? And I'm like, yeah, I love it. It's the best. And they're like, oh, like one of the young kids up on Spotify and stuff. And I'm like,
what?
Is Spotify a young person thing?
I just thought everyone does Spotify.
But to be clear, Spotify is awful because it screws over the artists.
I don't use Spotify myself. I use the Apple Music stuff, but I thought everyone used Spotify.
It's the same thing, basically. But you buy things on Apple Music?
No, they don't do that anymore. I have this subscription.
Oh, so on Apple Music, it's same as Spotify.
Same as Spotify.
Oh, you just subscribe and you can.
But I bought a ton of stuff on Apple Music.
Yeah. But you also used to have that thing, Shark, or what was that thing called?
Groove Shark. Yeah.
And that was like out of business. That was like an early version of Spotify.
Yeah.
Did that have ads?
No.
Yeah. Was that Russian or something? Because I remember.
I don't know. No, it wasn't Russian.
I remember when you would play that, it was like, how does that work? You can play like any song.
It was not Russian.
It didn't have every song, though, right?
No, and a lot of times they were versions of songs that were not the original.
Yeah, like live and stuff, and the cataloging was weird, I remember.
I sort of got tricked initially because I thought it was legit, but it wasn't.
So like a money grab or something?
No, they were. I don't think they were making money, but they certainly weren't paying money, you know?
To get the actual thing. Yeah, right, yeah. So it must have been some...
And so eventually they got taken
like a Napster kind of...
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, but you didn't have to download BitTorrent or any of that stuff. It was just a site. You go to the site, you type in the song, and it would play.
So do you have time for one gripe, Berto?
I do have time for one gripe.
What? Give me a gripe.
All right. So this one has to do with a familiar topic, which is the things that people post online.
Yeah.
Specifically in Facebook. but in this case, it's a little bit of a twist. So, you know, recently, someone posted one of the many videos that people post on these sites. And this video in particular was about a person being sort of like verbally assaulted, verbally disrespected, okay? But the video itself is irrelevant. The point is someone commented in that thread saying that, the other person deserved it, right? Now, you'll probably appreciate this because, you know, your empathy angle, right? But I just immediately a ton of people started piling on either direction, right? And so what started off as a video that I think everyone, including the people, like would really on a normal day agree, like that's not polite behavior, like that's not okay to do. It turned out into this ravenous battle where the original video was irrelevant, like it was lost. Like the whole ravenous battle was about whether or not it's okay to yell at people for whatever random reason you think it's okay to yell at random at people. So my grab about in this point is that, and I am guilty as charged, but I'm almost gripeful at myself, is like,
a self-imposed gripe.
Can we just calm the Facebook thread down and like, Just stop posting. Stop answering. Especially because in a lot of these cases, like in this example, like you're not even actually arguing about whatever the post was about.
Yeah.
You're just really going back and forth with the other person.
I maybe you're reaching a point because often in the past you would get involved.
Right.
I don't know why, but all I had to see was one of these maybe like 7 years ago to realize no one's really having a conversation here. And everyone is basically misunderstanding the tone of other people.
Yeah.
That they're all just kind of arguing in their own minds, but typing something into a thing in Facebook. And I'm like, Is anyone really talking to each other?
Absolutely. And I keep falling into the trap here and there. Like, I just had one with someone posting about the Israel-Gaza thing.
Hmm.
And this person happens to be Jewish, and they were strongly defending Israel's actions. And a whole bunch of my contacts were sort of piling on against that, right? And against my better judgment, I decided to pile on as well. But I at first I was just going to make a joke, but I'm like, ah, this is too serious for a joke. So I basically posted a thing. And I got as far as, I think I did post, they almost immediately replied. I did post, I think I did a total of 3 posts. And at that point, I was like, this is a never-ending black hole. So I'm stopping, pulling away. And
yeah, I mean, even when people try to have a meta comment like, hey, I think maybe everyone's not listening to each other, right, you'll still get attacked or just ignored.
Which is exactly what happened. And it's funny because that person tried to end with meta comments too. Like, because one of my other contacts was like, look, it's clear we will never agree on this. And I don't understand where you're coming from. And then the other person goes, well, there's no need to get angry. You know, at least we're talking about it, right? And I'm like, that sentence sounds great, but that's not what's happening here. You know, but anyways. So it's a self-gripe, sort of speaking to myself. Yeah. But I'm saying, I'm done. I'm tired. It's over.
You're all grown up.
I'm all griped up.
So my gripe has to do with pushy salespeople. I recently had to get a new phone because Michael Drain broke my phone.
What?
So I'm joking.
Okay.
But not really.
He
so
broke your phone.
we've actually talked about this in the podcast, I think, where I was leaving. Him and I were hanging out, and then I went outside to the street to get a lift, and I was on my phone trying to, and he came up behind me and gave me this big bear hug.
Oh no.
And my cell phone went flying. And it broke. And I had already decided I wanted a new phone.
He must have felt terrible.
Oh yeah,
knowing him.
Yeah, he felt really bad. And he actually, come to think of it, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, I hope, is he's done that a couple other times. Like one time he's just done things like that a couple other times. I think he's sort of a bigger guy. And right. Anyway,
I was holding a Fabergé egg one time. He came from behind, swatted it out of my hands and stepped on it. And I was like, dude. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was a Fabergé egg.
I thought you were going to say, I was standing there, I was holding a Fabergé egg, and he came up behind me and hit me over the head with a bat.
Oh, God, that's extreme. With Lucille?
Yeah. But so I went to the Verizon store to get a new phone, and yeah. I was, you know, I wanted a new phone. There was no, and I'm sort of like, I'm not going to switch carriers. I'm fine with Verizon, whatever. So I go into the Verizon store, and I'm thinking, well, do I really want to get the same phone or,
right.
You know, let's see what else.
Which one did break? Which one broke?
Pixel 1.
Pixel 1, okay.
Yeah, and I got a Pixel 2. Okay. And I was looking at iPhone again, and I was even looking at the Motorola phones.
Okay.
But I was really looking at the Galaxy phones because
the Samsung is not.
Now that I'm used to Android,
right.
After breaking from iPhone, I'm like, well, in my head, I'm like, aren't the Samsung Galaxies supposed to be really awesome? You know,
really pretty.
Yeah, and so I was looking at them, and then after a while, I was like, I think I'll just go with the Pixel 2. You know, and what sold me was he said, well, so Android is made by Google. And the Pixel is also made by Google. So in the same way that Apple makes, you know, the OS for the iPhones, it also makes the phones, which makes the hardware and software
more
integrated than the Samsung, which isn't as integrated, you know. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Give me the simplest thing. You know? But anyway, we're checking out. You know, I'm 47. I'm set in my ways.
Right.
And of course, you know, he tries to sell me a case. And I say to him, I've never had a case in my life. Since I've had cell phones, since the flip phones, the Razor, I've I've been through several iPhones. I've never owned a case. I didn't say that long, but yeah. I said something like, no, I don't need a case. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, I never have cases. I don't like cases. And he's like, well, you did break your phone. And he said it serious too. And I was like, no, thanks. I don't need a case. Like, I'm one of those people where if a case actually made logical sense, I still wouldn't buy a case, you know, because at this point in my life, I'm just setting my
life. But you've said it several times.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you did break your phone.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, okay, he tried to upsell me because he gets like more commission on upsells and whatever.
Right.
And so he gave it a try and, you know, whatever. I said no. Personally, I don't fucking appreciate even that shit because I have two eyes and I have a brain and I know what a case is. You know, when I go into McDonald's and I order a Big Mac and fries, they don't say, would you like to order another Big Mac and fries with that?
They do say, would you like to biggie size? Oh, they used to, remember?
Yeah.
Would you like to biggie size your meal?
But they don't anymore. Right. You know, I have a brain. I know what a menu is. I don't need to be asked to add things to my thing.
Would you like a dessert with that?
Like, if you want to ask, like, did you want to look at other items before you leave? Like, okay, that's polite. But would you like to buy a case? And then I'm like, no. And then you fucking push back on me.
And like you broke your phone, dude.
Yeah. Like let's play that scenario out. I'm a 47-year-old guy who up until this point has proven to you that I'm a thoughtful person. And I say no. And you're like, oh, come on. And I'm like, okay. You know, but the sad thing is it probably works with some people.
That's probably what works, yeah.
So then he tries to sell me a Google Home thing. He tries to sell me like the Alexa of Google, you know. And I'm like, no, I have no use for those things. In fact, I don't even like the voice command. I don't. And then he proceeds to, well, but dude, like, you know, you can get a discount and let me show you the features. And I'm like, no, I'm just getting the phone. And then he's like, I have this at home.
Oh my gosh.
Let me show you it. And I'm like, no, I don't want it. and then he kept trying to sell other things. And,
oh my gosh.
And then it became like, at a certain point, it became like this passive aggression, I think. Like he was sort of mad at me and he'd be like, so would you like this too? And I'd be like, no. It was like really fucking annoying.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is extreme. Obviously, I've experienced the pushy sales, but that sounds extreme.
Yeah. It's like he turned into a dick.
Yeah.
And I just
because
thought,
you wouldn't go along with his script.
And I'm buying a phone.
You're buying the phone.
That's worth hundreds of dollars. Right. I'm spending hundreds of dollars on a phone in your fucking store. And you're being a dick to me.
Yeah.
Like, nice one, Verizon. That's
wow.
That's good. That makes sense.
You know, this reminds me of back when Radio Shack was still a thing. You know how they're going out, or they went out of business, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I used to go there every now and then to buy audio parts.
Absolutely.
Right? But you probably experienced this, I'm sure. The people that work there sometimes, they really had this air of like, so you come in and you're like,
yeah,
hey, so do you have any 1/8-inch to 1/4-inch adapters? And then they take a step back.
What do you
what are you trying to do with that? I know what I'm trying to, but sure, I'll explain it for you. Why am I? So you're like, well, you know, I have this device that's, well, what kind of device? Well, it's a music device. Like, do you need to know everything? Yeah. It's like, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And then you go through the whole thing, and at the end, it's like, okay, I guess you could have. It's like, well, do you have it? Yeah, we have. I'm like, why didn't you? It's so frustrating. And this would happen a lot because I had to, as you know, with music, you're always having to buy adapters.
Yeah.
You have to buy adapters from XLR to 1/4-inch, a Y splitter, because this one's stereo, that one's not stereo. Totally. And I don't need to explain it, just do you have it or don't you?
Oh, didn't you have a gripe about moving? Because I just moved.
Oh,
and
right.
So this is one of the first episodes that we've recorded in this new studio, and I'm worried about the echo because I haven't optimized the sound quality of this room. And so I'm worried that this episode is going to be a little echoey, But as you can see, I have all the, my books on the ground, yes. and like everything's all discombobulated.
Well, that's absorbing sound right now.
A little bit. But didn't you have something to say about moving?
Yes. So moving a couch, what's the sofa bed couches?
Oh, yeah. yeah. All right. So before we start recording, we were talking about how moving is such a pain in the ass.
Right.
And we were talking about in college days moving.
College
and
days.
And I remember having to move a hideaway bed.
Yes.
With the metal one with the with the springs, you
right.
know. And trying to get this thing out of... And back in the day, we wouldn't get movers, of course.
Nope.
We would just...
You and your buddies.
Just us. Just me and two of my friends.
If you're lucky, two showed up.
Yeah. And maybe someone had like a small truck, you know?
Yeah.
And we could not get this couch out of our apartment. And so we just left it.
Dude, it's such a familiar story. So me and my friend Eric, whom you know, he was living downtown Seattle in this... By the way... He was living in this apartment that was in the middle, like right before Chinatown.
Okay.
Right before. And it was like, you know, on that hill, like here's Chinatown, you go on that steep hill, yep. and then there's the like the freeway.
Yesler.
He was living like right there.
Yesler? Is it on?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, he was living right there. So side note, I remember coming back from a bar late one night, and I was, he was already home, and he had left first for some reason, and I was coming. And I was fairly intoxicated, and I'm walking through a little park on the way to his thing, and I'm getting stopped by dudes going, hey, do you want some cocaine? Hey, do you want some smack? Hey, do you want this? And I was in one of my Berto on the streets moods, so I'm like, no, but that, I mean, that sounds great, but no, I'm fine. And then I'm like trying to strike up conversation, not realizing I'm walking through like a total drug sale alley, yeah. and I'm like, oh god. But anyways, that's where he lived. So we were moving him out of that place, and he was borrowing a couch that my mom had given me that was this pink monstrosity. It was a pink, big sofa bed made with the metal and all these things. I think without the metal, the sofa already weighed a ton,
yeah.
and with the metal, it was like six elephants.
I mean... They made those things to be put somewhere and stay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like to resist wars.
Yeah.
And first of all, not only are they heavy,
and but they always had the thinnest mattress on the top.
Yeah, totally. You can barely sleep on it.
The bar would
with
just be
bumps and things.
Yeah.
Oh, it was that. But the downside is not only are they super heavy, but as soon as you try to move them, the spring pops out and now you got it smacking at someone and it's a mess. Same thing. We are trying to get, first, hard to get it out of his apartment. We put it out into the hallway, and the frick, it wouldn't fit in the elevator. So we were going to take it down the stairs. And this was at the end of the moving day. We were already super tired. And so we start trying to move it, and we're like, fuck it. And we just left. It's probably still in that stairwell sitting there, because probably the owners were like, I'm not moving that. Oh my gosh.
Well, that does it for that episode of Psychology in Seattle. Hopefully Thor came by and axed that thing out.
I hope so.
Dinklage was funny, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was like giant Dinklage.
Yeah. And please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.